from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome to the circus. Welcome to the damn circus. Not this show. The Sacramento Kings, they are so back. They are so freaking back. That's James. I'm Kyle. Usually the vibes are good on a Friday. And they're like, that's fine. The energy is fine. The vibes, though, are down because the Mike Brown contract situation has officially become a circus. And it didn't need to be. If you missed it, if you're living under a rock, last night, or I say living under a rock, if you're not on Twitter, Shams Charania from The Athletic reported that the Sacramento Kings have made, this is verbatim, by the way, off of Shams' Twitter, the Sacramento Kings have made a competitive offer to head coach Mike Brown on a contract extension, 3 years and $21 million through 2026-27, up to $27 million with bonuses, sources say. So far, no agreement. Brown is believed to be seeking around $10 million annually. Later reporting from Fox 40's Sean Cunningham, friend of the show, some additional context surrounding the Kings' proposed offer to Mike Brown. According to sources, Sacramento's recent offer is believed to be comparable to Jason Kidd's extension with the Dallas Mavericks. Let's put a pin in that momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
My gripe with this is not so much the $7 million a year. That's not outrageous. It's not insulting. It's a little low for sure, but not an outrageously low number. If that contract got reported, 3 years, $21 million up to 2017 in bonuses, it'd have been like, oh, okay, like that's a nice little deal for the Kings. Obviously, you know, Mike wanted to be here and this and that, but my problem comes in. And then $27 million in bonuses, you get, that's up to $9 million a year, basically, depending on what those bonuses are. And it insulates the Kings from their worry of, hey, we don't like this coach anymore. We're going to let him go and don't have to pay him $10 million a year. My issue with this, James,
mm-hmm.
is that instead of continuing to do this behind closed doors, and continuing to go through these negotiations and doing the numbers and stuff in the privacy of an office or Zoom or phone or however the heck these negotiations get done. I have no idea. They go to Shams with a quote-unquote competitive offer that is only 3 years instead of four or more and is $7 million a year, which is, like I said, not insulting, but not something where you're suddenly going to be pounding the table and going, whoa, Mike Brown, now the ball's in his court. Why is he not signing this deal? There's a clear middle ground here.
Yeah.
If Mike Brown wants 10, as per Shams, and the Kings offered, let's say, 10 million per, and the Kings offered 7 per, as per Shams, there's a middle ground here. There's a legit middle ground between those two numbers.
There is.
8.5, by the way, if you're not great at math. It's 8.5 million a year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, to me, feels more like in the competitive offer range. And the 3 years on top of this, I'm sorry for rambling, the 3 years on top of this continue to indicate what we've been talking about has been the problem the whole time, is that lack of wanting to commit to the coach. It's 3 years, so it's through 2026, 2027. So he gets through 25, 20, he would add 3 more seasons.
Okay, but the way I read this is we're going into the 24-25.
Right.
The 25-26.
Right.
And then 26-27.
So he gets 3 seasons.
3 seasons. So, but what that means is they're tearing up his current deal, which pays him less than $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving him 3 new seasons. That's what that would look like. And of those 3 new seasons, or we could say maybe they're not tearing up his deal. Maybe they are giving him closer to that,
mm-hmm.
but not really, because they're keeping his current salary. So I don't know. I don't like the negotiating fully. This is like super transparent. Like, there isn't a lot of ways in which you can read this as somebody else. This isn't like some sort of like shell game where somebody who didn't have anything to do with anything is putting things out there that may look like the Kings put something out there. I don't buy any of that. Like, this is full on negotiating in the press. And for me, on a day when a former president of the United States got convicted of 34 felonies,
mm-hmm.
and the Dallas Mavericks are clubbing the Minnesota Timberwolves mm-hmm. on their way to the finals, half the basketball Twitter just went like, what was that?
Yeah.
What are you like? What the? Who just put that out there? Like, what are we doing? That's what just happened.
To me, it's very obvious, by the way, who put this out there.
Yeah.
If it's going to be reported as a competitive offer of 3 years and $21 million with 6 additional million in potential bonuses.
Yeah.
There's zero incentive for Mike Brown to leak it that way. Zero. Or Mike Brown or Mike Brown's camp.
Yeah.
So to me, this is coming from the Kings. Whether I'm not even going to name Nick because I don't know if it's Monty McNair or Vivek or Wes Wilcox or Doug Christie or whoever. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't, like, take that last name out. He wouldn't ever leak anything.
I was just picking people I know who are around the organization. No. So I don't even, I genuinely have no idea. But it's so clear that this came from the Kings side. And it's like, why? There's clearly beef here over maybe a year on the contract. Or $1 million or $2 million, because I'm guessing that Mike Brown is believed to be seeking around $10 million annually.
Yeah,
that's Mike Brown's camp going, yeah, hey, we want 10, and you've got the Kings who are going, hey, what about 7? And negotiations go, you meet somewhere in the middle.
I would agree.
That's how this works.
Yeah. So I'm on board with what you're saying, and like, look, I think that there is a way we can get into the Jason Kidd stuff. First of all, that's I've heard that's not the number that Kidd got at all. Like, Kidd's, if you go look on the internet, Kidd's number isn't out there. It's higher than that. It's higher than that, and this is one of those things where it's like...
They kept it out of the press. Weird. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
sure.
Yeah, they did actually keep it out of the press. I don't know the exact number, but here's the problem you have with Jason Kidd. First of all, he's got a .522 career win percentage. He's had... Sure. Like, below .500 records multiple times. He was about to get fired last season when the Dallas Mavericks didn't make the playoffs. They didn't even make the play-in. They were bad. And Jason Kidd was on the ropes. Jason Kidd makes it back for another year. Heaven forbid you give a guy 3 years to actually build a program, and all of a sudden, him and 2 superstars are in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bad comp. Like,
yeah.
Jason Kidd is about, there are so many other coaches. We went through the list. We think there are like 8 or 9 coaches that we know right now are making $10 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at Budenholzer's 5-year $50 million. You can look at Doc Rivers, 4-year $40 million. You can mm-hmm. look at, like, yesterday when Ty Lue got $14 million a year for 5 years or whatever?
Yeah.
That just happened.
Yeah.
Like, all of these coaches are lining up, and I don't think that, like, you don't take a step backwards. And, hey, let's put incentives in. That's fine. I'm totally fine with incentives. Sure. But if, again, you want to get to make one or two easily like reachable incentives, and then maybe one or two that are like pie in the sky, you know, maybe do like $500,000 for making the playoffs, $250,000 for making the second round, $250,000 for making the third round. Now all of a sudden we're up to $1 million.
Yeah.
And then like if you can win the NBA finals, you get X amount. If you can, if you're NBA coach of the year, you get X amount. That all makes sense. Like these deals don't seem like they should be that difficult. But when you're asking somebody to take below market value, or at least it appears you are, it appears that somebody decided to put out there what exactly they were offering, and it's below market value. The three-year $21 million is below market value, because I don't care about those incentives right now, because those incentives literally could just be like winning an NBA championship and being coach of the year.
Yeah.
We don't know what those incentives are.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's probably a moment to take a step back. But I also would point out, it's something I wrote last night on Twitter. They're back at the negotiating tables. After this discussions have been tabled from Woj last week, they're back at the negotiating table. They're having conversations. And I think we're getting closer and closer to a deal to be done. To me, last night felt like crowdsourcing. The crowdsourcing did not go well for whoever put that tweet out there. It didn't go well for Shams, and it didn't go well for anyone out there who actually gave him that information, because it's just, it didn't. Like, you go look at the reaction. The reaction is, you know, like very similar to what our friend Kenny says all the time. Like, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yep.
It just, like, the dynamics have changed. It's not crazy, and it's also on Mike as one of the veteran coaches in the NBA to fight for that middle ground, for that around $10 million a year range. And that's because you want to solidify that for all the other coaches. That's what you want to do. And for Mike to take a huge step back off of what everyone else is getting, you think he's worth half of what Ty Lue just got?
Yeah,
because that's what that figure is. It's basically half. That's crazy.
I want to know what sparked them to do this. I'm going to, here, just so everybody listening knows, I'm operating under the assumption that the Kings leaked this.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong and we find out down the road, I will be the first to stand here on the radio and admit my wrongness, and we can talk about it then. I'm going to operate based on everything we know, and based on how the tweet is worded,
yes,
that the Kings leaked this. Why would you do this? What's it? There was nothing. There was not. It's not like Mike Brown's people put out a tweet or leaked something through Woj that last night that said the Kings have not made Mike Brown an offer, da 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 da, or anything like that. And this is in response to that. This was just a random, like, hey, I heard something on TV or a podcast or on the radio today that I didn't like. I was walking down the street and some Kings fan said something to me and I didn't like it. So I went to Shams because people need to know that we have made a competitive offer. And it's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. It's just, you made an offer. Cool. And that's fine. And if, like I said, if they send that offer to Mike Brown, again, I don't know how this works. I don't know if they mail it or fax or call or text. I don't know. But if that's the offer, they say, hey, I know in the NFL it's typically phone calls. You go, hey, what about 3 and 21 incentives up to 27? And Mike Brown's agent calls Mike and says, here's what they are offering. And Mike goes, nah, no, like, I don't want to do that. What if we do this instead? And then you call back and you go, that's how this goes. That they're going to the press with this is the biggest problem for me. The offer is not, it's low. It's not absurdly low, where that is insulting. That's a good like starting point if you're the Kings. This is what we would like to pay, because that's a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we would like to pay. Like, I'm sure. And Mike Brown would like to make $15 million a year, but he's not going to do that. So, hey, how about 10? We'll start at 10. And then you work your way down. The Kings are already at this point where, for whatever reason, for no reason, just jumped over to Shams and went, hey, make sure, send this out. For who? For what?
Yeah, it's a tough one, man.
It's
a tough one because I also, Kyle, I don't get it. Like, if that's how you're going to conduct this, like, keep it out of the press, like, the best you can. Like, the parameters for this deal have been out there, like, again and again and again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like the parameters haven't been out there. Everyone kind of knows what the range is. Like, really. So, why are you going well below what the range is? Like, you, again, I someone tweeted at me. I apologize for not knowing who it was that that tweeted at me, but they said something to the effect, oh, here we go. ID Graphic on Twitter. When you finally buy your dream car and discover you can't afford the maintenance. That's what this, like, good coaches cost money. And they cost more money now than they did a couple of years ago. It's just the facts of life.
It's how it goes.
It's the cost of doing business. And again, I would continuously point to the fact that the Kings were worth a little over $2 billion like a year and a half ago. They're now worth over $3
billion. Mm-hmm.
Like, the dynamics are changing all around you at all times. The NBA salary cap is about to skyrocket. The television money is about to triple. Like, why are we fighting over, like, a million or $2 here? Per year.
Doesn't make sense.
Because what it does is it makes you look petty.
That, yes.
Like, unfortunately, it does. Like, whether that was your intent or not, I think it really does make you look like whoever's idea this was, it looks like, oh, first of all, you're not, like, looking around the league and seeing what everybody else is getting paid. And even if you look at the tweet by Sean Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the show.
Yeah, Sean's, like, we're literally partners on the Kings beat. Like, he's one of my dudes, right? But if, like, why would you just pull out Jason Kidd and say Jason Kidd is making this? Okay, even if Jason Kidd is making that dollar, which I don't think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he is, why is he the guy that we got to compare Mike Brown to?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is a guy with a 522 career win percentage the guy you got to compare him to? Why
going to the finals?
Yeah, because he's going to the finals. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Mm-hmm. He's going to the finals. Okay. He also has Luka and he has Kyrie. If you wanted to, his general manager also went out and got Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So look, I would just, like, be fair here. Like to be fair to all sides, I don't, like, it sure does look like it came from the Kings. There's some weird world in which it did not,
sure.
But I don't see that world actually being out there. And let's be honest, man, the deal is right there for the taking. Like, it's not that difficult. He wants $10 million. You got $7 million. You're right. The middle ground right there is like 8.5. You could even, like, 8.5 or 9, but make the incentives and where in which if he does succeed, he gets to X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
But why are you doing this? It just does not look good at all.
It looks small time because you're bickering over a couple of million dollars in an era where we know that there's a several billion dollar TV rights deal, like you just said, coming up. You mentioned the thing about the team's valuation climbing by orders of hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars over the last couple of years. And then you have this is not like part of the salary cap. This is not something where they're going, you know what? Hey, we can't keep him around because we're trying to maneuver this. And, you know, there might be a big move down in the future. This is purely not super sold on Mike Brown. So we don't want, if we fire him, which we could definitely do, we don't want to have to pay him out and pay another coach. So what if we just try and find, like, the Kings are trying in this instance, there's some give and take. And they're trying to all take right now.
Yeah.
There's no give in this. And again, I'm going to continue saying this. The contract offer itself is not insane. It's low, but not insane. It's not $3 million a year. And it is a contract offer.
Mm-hmm.
So credit to the Kings there for trying. It's not enough. It's not close. It is close, but it's not there. It's not, you're arguing over $1 million, maybe two, over the course of 3 years, or maybe you're arguing over one additional year that would come in 2027, 28, right? Is that right? 26, 27? Yeah, 27, 28?
Yeah.
That's so far in the future. And you want to talk about franchise values going up and TV money coming in? Like, this is so silly. And then to go to the press with that as though this is Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr and we're talking 15s and 20 millions of dollars, or this is a Brandon Ayuk contract extension where it's getting ugly in the press and you're going back and forth and wrong numbers are being reported left and right. Like, this is just an own goal, man.
Yeah.
And the frustration does not come from the offer. It does not come from, because you just said we're getting closer and closer to a deal getting done. So that's not even the issue at this point. It's like, dude, this is, you're so heading the right direction as a team, as an organization, as a franchise. Like, Vivek has worked so hard to get this thing going the right way, getting the right people in place. And whether he has the right people in place or not, TBD, whether they're going to win a title, TBD. But it's like, dude, this organization has taken so many steps from Vivek on down to move the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And sending this out to Shams last night out of seemingly nowhere, that's the small time stuff that people always say Kangs, K-A-N-G-Z. Like, that's that.
Yeah.
That's a version of this. So all of that is to say, if they get a deal done where it's 4 and 32 with some incentives that get it to 4 and 40, again, what those incentives are, no idea. Then we're looking at like, okay, good. Cooler heads prevailed. They came to their senses. Let's move on. Like, this isn't something that we're never going to get over.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is get passable. But right now, as we sit on May 31st, where Mike Brown doesn't have a contract, and this is the only thing we've seen publicly, that's silly. It is a circus type move.
Well, I think the other problem too is the NBA is about to take a 6-day break because the finals aren't until what, next Thursday. This is going to be one of the topics of discussion the whole time. And that's what you don't want to be, is the topic of negative discussions. And that's what this is again. Like, this is, I was told when I first started this job by someone within the walls of the Kings that Sacramento's a good news town. They love good news.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's an opportunity here for really good news. There's an opportunity for you to lock up a great coach that just strung together two winning seasons, came up a little bit short, but all you got to do is make a couple of roster changes and get ready to go into another season where who knows where this team can go, right? This just feels like very short-sighted. Like, you're
100%.
You're not getting, like, the PR look of this is, mm-hmm, like, what are we doing? And, like, I don't know why they operate this way. This isn't the first time. It won't be the last time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't get why it has to be contentious all the time, why it has to get to this level all the time, and why you literally just went out, whoever did this went out and put a number out there that doesn't look good for you. It doesn't look good, yes, for you. You know, we no longer live in a world where you can go to the grocery store and get 2 gallons of milk for $5.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. A dozen eggs cost like $6.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go buy apples, it's like a dollar something an apple. This is not the same world we lived in,
mm-hmm,
5 years ago. And in the NBA world, it's not the same world we lived in 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The Monty Williams contract destroyed the base. And then boom, 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 that base was solidified way up high.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you got to figure out where you are going to be as a franchise, because if it's not Mike Brown,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be someone else that you have to pay this dollar amount for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't walk into a car dealership and there's a $40,000 car and say, I'll give you $23,000. And the dealer's like, no. And then you get angry and you're like, what do you mean?
And so you're going to go try and buy a bicycle instead, and you're not going to win the race on a bicycle.
No. Well, that, and like, in the meantime, you're just damaging everything. Like, there is positivity here. Whether they made the playoffs or not, there is positivity. There is a vision. There is movement going the right way, something that had not happened for 16 years. you got to try to harness that and ride that. And that's where I'm more of the opinion that, like, look, this was misguided, and it wasn't something that I would have done, and it's certainly not something that if I were given that number and someone said, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to quote you on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these will be in quotes. I'm not putting this out there without it being from someone else, from, like, very clear that a source gave me this information.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, for me, I can't imagine, like, putting the words competitive. I don't want my words being put in there.
Editorializing
that this is a competitive offer, because I don't believe that that's a competitive offer in today's NBA.
Sure.
And if other people think that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you also have to look at coaching salaries and where they've been for years, and, like, what Mike Brown is up against as far as establishing this. You know, he needs to get paid what other coaches are getting paid in the league.
Yep.
And if nothing else, you don't get a Sacramento Kings discount when it comes to coaches, because, like, it's the Kings. Like, there's a history here. Yep. Where coaches lose their jobs very quickly. Mm-hmm. It's on Mike to fight for every dollar that he can, in my opinion. And I get the Kings.
Everybody always. Yeah. Players, coaches, everyone, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to begrudge somebody, you know, for what they make. And I'm also, like, if we see this deal get worked out and in the end it's like a 3-year, $25 million deal with incentives that could push it to 30,
mm-hmm.
that sounds like, in my head, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that $4 million, it means a lot more in today's market, not just because it's Mike Brown getting $4 million extra dollars. Mm-hmm. It's that Mike is establishing with the other coaches that this is what NBA coaches make.
Yeah.
So
somebody in the chat asked, is there a bad news town? New York and Philly are the first two that come to mind.
Yeah.
New York and Philly.
I think Chicago,
in terms of sports, love some bad news.
Yes.
They are all about ripping into their teams as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. I mean, there are bad news towns, and I get that. Like,
From a sports perspective, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, total.
I haven't spent enough time there in either of those places to know. But sports-wise, I've listened to enough radio in those places to know they love some bad news.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah.
But that's, you hit the nail on the head with that. This is such a freaking layup for the Kings. All you have to do is not sending this kind of stuff to Shams and negotiating in public. Like you said, and that's just a PR failure. That's a swing and a miss. That's an own goal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it's not, they can't recover from this, and oh my God, they need to fire everybody and clean house. It's not that. It is not nearly that drastic. It's just a terrible look. If they came out today and said, and stick with me on this number, Mike Brown signs a 4-year, $48 million extension worth up to $60 million. There's not a single person who's going to be like, whoa, that's too much money. It's not their money. Is it affecting the salary cap?
Nope.
It's not. Now, if they went, hey, we're paying a coach, so we're not going to go into the luxury tax, okay, now we can talk about an issue. But there's not some number that there's no negative PR for the Kings by re-signing Mike Brown.
No.
To any deal. So it's like, yo, just stay quiet until that happens. And then celebrate the hell out of it when it does. Have Mike Brown down in Doko if you want. I don't care. But this is a layup, dude. You just got to make it.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We have to break. We'll continue talking about this when we come back. I see you on the line. Our favorite segment of the day coming up on the other side, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. More Mike Brown talk coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oops. An abomination.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking milk on ESPN 1320. No, I'm
buying some milk.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Everybody's favorite segment coming up in this next 20 minutes or so. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, if you want to vent about the Mike Brown contract situation, if you have thoughts, if you have takes, let us know at 916-909-1320. Are you mad at Mike Brown? Are you mad at the Kings? Are you mad at both? I think at this point, James, I think the prevailing thought from everything I'm seeing in the Chatty House, and the Chatty House is my North Star when it comes to Kings fandom. But everything on Twitter and reading on the internet last night, the prevailing thought is like, yo, just get this done. Nobody cares about the dollars. Nobody cares about the years. It's like, dude, just get him under contract for the next few seasons and go
from there. You know what? I feel like this is kind of, we had the conversation yesterday about like the bubble championship, right? Right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the bubble championship maybe for another couple of years. And then we'll never talk about the bubble championship. It'll never show up as an asterisk anywhere. It'll never look like anything
right,
else.
Right.
Like, just get this deal done. And we don't have to talk about how, like, the sausage was made here. Because clearly some of that is being put out there for everyone to see.
Right.
But, like, just get it done. And then that way we can all move on. I don't know that that's where, you know, this thing will head. Mm-hmm. I think there is. Again, the fact that they're talking, the fact that, like, whoever it was, it just, like, got their hand smacked for putting out some information that looks really, really bad for one side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this is when a deal should just get done and we just put this thing to bed and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
We'll literally never talk about it again.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, we're not going to go, you remember that time?
Yeah.
We talk about, you remember that time that you fired somebody? We'll talk about that.
Yes.
Because you did that too many times. But the remember that time where he almost didn't get the coach? Like, no, that's not really all that big of a deal. This is the way negotiations go. And like the Kings have like less than a month before they got to start frying much, much bigger fish in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to like all hands on deck, like dealing with whether it's the draft or dealing with trades or dealing with free agency and what's going to happen with Malik Monk. Like mm-hmm. all of that, this is just something that needs to, it's business. It's the, you know, the house cleaning.
And not even difficult business.
No, no.
This, there's no, like I said, it's not like a cap. There's no financial maneuvering that needs to happen. The $1 million or $2 million they're off is a drop in the bucket to what the Kings are going to make next season.
Well, that and Kyle, like, look, if you decide that you know, somehow the Kings don't make the playoffs this next year,
mm-hmm.
and you decide you want to fire Mike Brown, is there that much of a difference between paying him out $14 million and paying him out $17
million? No.
No. I mean, it's part of doing business in the NBA. It yeah. is. It just straight up.
That's it.
I mean, I don't know what Adrian Griffin got in his deal,
mm-hmm.
but when he wasn't the right coach, like 3 months into the season or 2 months into the whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
they fired him and paid out like probably 4-year contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, bye. Yep. He might still just get his paychecks every month. Yeah. Like from here on out, mm-hmm. that might be the way that they worked it out. I don't sure. know. But the fact is they're still going to be paying that guy for the next 3.5 years or something.
Yeah.
That is the NBA.
Yep.
That is the cost of doing business in the NBA. So.
Yep. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We'll continue talking about this, but we want to hear from you as well. And it's time for everybody's favorite segment of the day. It is time for Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on, man?
Good afternoon, Kyle, James. How's everything?
You know, I've been better. What's going on, Mitch?
Well, hopefully it does get better. But first of all, why is milk almost the same price of gas per gallon?
That's
right?
A great question.
They had to sign Mike Brown. When I first read that tweet last night, I don't know if you sent it, I forgot it already. It sounded like, what is it, sell cars? Is he getting a base salary and commission? Just pay the guy $10 million and make the right pickups during his offseason. And one more thing, talk about drama. I don't think the Kings are going to match the drama that's going on with Denver. I mean, you heard with the Porter's brothers. I just read Drew Gordon. I remember him. He's only 33.
Yeah.
How do you know he was Aaron Gordon's brother?
Yeah.
He died in a car crash
yeah.
the other day. I mean, how much? I never seen such one team had so much drama with siblings, family. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch. Definitely the passing of Drew Gordon is tragic.
Oh, yeah.
San Jose basketball legend.
33 years old.
33 years old. Spent some time, I believe, with the Sixers in the NBA. Tragic passing of Aaron Gordon's brother in a car accident last night. Our thoughts and prayers are with their family, because that is just a horrific tragedy
mm-hmm.
that cannot fathom. And definitely put some things in perspective.
Well, yeah. Well, that and even like what he said there, if I caught it correctly, he's right. There is like between the Porters and now Aaron Gordon, there's like he just like not that the same things are happening, but that is a lot of drama for two players' siblings on one team. That's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, really, really unfortunate
yeah.
Situation.
All right. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We got Don. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
This is Big E, actually.
Gosh darn it. Sorry, Big E. What's up, man?
No worries. But prayers out. I just tuned in, so I wasn't sure what you guys are talking about. But,
Mike Brown.
Oh, yes. So since Vivek took over about 10 years ago, has any of the coaches even seen a contract extension, or is the organization really just like, I'm new and don't know what to do now that we have a coach worth extending? Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. That's kind of an interesting question. They haven't, right?
That's actually an absolutely brilliant comment. No, the Kings have never, in Vivek's tenure, and even since Rick Adelman, they have never extended a coach beyond his first contract.
Wow.
I told you, like,
so
the,
wild, dude.
The only free agent with over with a 3-year contract or more to finish out his deal since I've covered the team.
This free agent, like player?
A free agent signing. Like the only free agent signing the Kings have had that was for more than 2 years, more than a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one that finished out the contract.
I feel like it's a funny name. Oh, no, it's Vlade.
No. No, no. I mean, since I've covered the team.
Oh, since you've covered the
since
team.
Since, like, 2010.
Who is it?
Costa Kufis.
Costa, that's right.
He's the only one to finish out his free agent contract
Costa.
That he signed.
Vlade, same.
Yeah.
Same guy.
The Kings have had plenty of success trading Balding. For players. trading for players and then being able to extend them or getting them to re-sign in Sacramento. That's, like, historically, that's been something, you know, we can go back to the Chris Webber days and all that stuff.
Yep.
Mike Bibby, like, so many players actually got traded to Sacramento and then extended, but actually getting a player to come on a contract, like, to Sacramento,
yeah,
they just very rarely does it stick. A free agent doesn't usually work out in Sacramento.
So, you know what? Let me do this because I was so negative in the first segment. Let me give credit where it's due.
Okay.
A big congratulations to the Sacramento Kings for being in a position to extend a head coach. They hired a guy worth extending.
Ain't that the facts?
That's big time.
I mean, like, look, I think that is the biggest story here. Like, again, I don't care. I wish the negotiations aren't, like, going like this, and they're not all out there and going crazy.
Right.
Like, but...
It's the way the negotiation's happening, not that it's happening.
Yeah.
That's, like, that. 3 years, $21 million, like, yeah, that's a kind of low-ball offer, but a normal low-ball offer in these kind of negotiations. I'm sure the 49ers' first offer to Brandon Ayuk was like, hey, will you take 4 years and $80 million with $20 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know if it's that. But I'm sure it was low. And certainly lower than anything Brandon Ayuk was ever going to accept. Like, that's just kind of how these things kind of work. It's the manner that they're happening that is the upsetting part.
I think part of the other issue is that we saw last week where, hey, negotiations have ended, right? Like, mm-hmm. on Thursday.
Yeah.
Whatever that day that was that Woj put out there. Like, they've tabled talks, right? And then 5 days later, clearly talks heated back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number you put out? That's the problem. It's like, hey, you table talks. So nobody knew what the conversations were. We didn't know what the dollar amount was, the years were, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we get to this point where we know. And it's like, oh, womp, womp, womp. Like, oh, that's why. That's why this deal hasn't got done. Like, it's not a question mark. It's like, oh, that's literally why the deal didn't get done.
For people just tuning in, I want to go back to something that you'd mentioned a little bit earlier, and I think it's a very important piece of this. Because, again, that the Kings are negotiating is great. That it went into the press, not super awesome, but again, not unovercomable. So does this, and I'm asking this for you to answer. This doesn't rule out a deal getting done, right? This is not like, oh my God, bridge burned, everything is cooked.
No.
Right.
No. I mean, if anything, if you're one of these camps just won the day, they just, like, is anyone else seeing what's happening on social media over this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I don't even know that I saw the aggregators pick it up because they were like, oh, really? Like... Like, I mean, realistically, I don't think that there's anyone who really won with that tweet, including the guy who tweeted it out.
I'm going to report that the Kings are now on the hot seat.
Well,
the Kings are on the hot seat with Mike Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, that's, you run the risk of this thing backfiring no matter what.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think this is some complicated thing where, like, somebody's trying to put things out there that, you know, it's very specific. Like, this contract negotiation hasn't gone very smooth,
mm-hmm.
and there's really not a lot of reason for it to go this way, for it to be this sort of gummed up, and not unless you don't believe that he's the guy to lead you forward.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, okay, this is there's a reason why it's complicated. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that that's the case. I don't think anyone knows. I don't think we're at a point right now where anyone feels like it's time to change paths. Like, and if there's someone out there and you're so deep into the process, like, who would you go get? Like, if that's that, that's how this thing goes. Like, if, again, if you don't want to pay the closer to the 3-year 25 with incentives or 3-year 30.
Sure.
Then you probably need to look at the whatever you owe him right now, which I, from what I know is less than $5 million,
mm-hmm.
and just cut it now. Just cut the cord, because you can't just go into a season like this with all of this hanging over your head.
And that's why I'm optimistic that okay, they went to Shams, bad look, but I still think there's evidence things are going the right way, and there's incentive for the Kings to get this done for that reason. Like, if they had wanted to part ways with Mike Brown, they would have just done it. They may have been overall, everybody in the organization, Mike Brown included, might have been upset with how last year went, but if the Kings were that upset, then they would have gotten rid of him the day after the play-in loss to the Pelicans, mm-hmm. and gone about their coaching search. But they didn't do that because they know, like, yeah, hey, you know what? Mike Brown has won 94 games the last 2 years. This is probably the guy we should be going forward with. So that's what, like, these people aren't dumb.
No.
Whoever is doing the negotiating, making these decisions, is not dumb. You don't get to where everybody in the front office and the Kings brass are by making bad. Well, you can make some bad decisions, but by generally making good decisions and being smart. So, yeah. I think they know, like, yo, we can't go hire a coach in June. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why I really do think that at some point cooler heads are going to prevail.
That's what I
last
would hope.
Last night was a little bit of an own goal going to Shams, but I'm still bullish on the idea that Mike Brown is going to be the Kings coach next year with a new contract.
I would hope so. And I also like how it's being represented out there in different ways. Like, this was not a 3-year, $27 million contract offer. It's not. It's a 3-year, $21 million deal with some incentives, and we don't know what those incentives look like. And all of those incentives could be next to impossible.
And that's the thing, is if they had leaked a 3-year, $27 million deal with reachable incentives up to $32 million, the conversation today is very different.
Oh, yeah.
The conversation today is like, wow.
Okay.
That's a really nice offer.
Yeah.
That means this is probably very, very close to being done.
Yeah, that's a prove it deal. Go ahead, Mike. Show what you can do.
Yeah.
Like, we'll build the incentives out so you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that building incentives into a coaching contract is spectacular. I think the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. the fact that that Domantas Sabonis had bonuses put into his deal the first mm-hmm. time when he got to Sacramento, that's what he came with. $2.6 million in two incentives. One is all NBA and one is the All-Star team, right? And if he gets, if he made all NBA, he gets $1.3 million. If he makes the All-Star team, he makes mm-hmm. $1.3 million. Even for a top-tier player, for a player who, again, is now three-time all NBA player, mm-hmm. like, he's pushing his name further and further towards the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's still got a rock to push up the hill, but he's getting closer. But the fact that a player of that ilk in his new deal said, no, I want those two incentives put in.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, he's incentivizing who he is. He's incentivizing him staying at an elite level, him being great. He's mm-hmm. saying, no, I want those numbers to push me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's okay to have a coach like, hey, like, if you're upset that we didn't make the playoffs, okay, how about we have an incentive for us making the playoffs? How about we have an incentive for us making the second round?
Sure.
How about we have an incentive for making the Western Conference Finals? How about we have an incentive for making to the NBA championship and winning the NBA championship, and then another incentive if I win Coach of the Year?
Sure.
Let's make most of them reasonable and obtainable, some of them obtainable, some of them not obtainable. That seems fair. So there's a way you can get to $10 million, which isn't the easy path, but certainly a way that you could get to $9 million relatively easy, mm-hmm. and you could feel like you're making what the other coaches in the league are making.
In the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, one Groovy Greg asks, are incentives in a contract with a head coach the industry standard in the NBA? He thinks not.
No, I think that there are. I think that there are coaches with incentives. Plus, you have to remember, you have to remember that coaching salaries are not like player salaries where you can go to Basketball Reference and we can do Pocket Watch, right? They're not out there. Sometimes the number gets out. A lot of times the number gets out, right?
Yeah.
Like even I can tell you, like when Luke Walton got his deal, it was like a 4-year $20 million, I believe. But because they were still paying Dave Yeager in the first year, it was structured so like it was like 4.25, 4.75, and then it kept climbing to make up for that first year. And so when they let him go, they actually owed him more. So when they hired Mike Brown, it's like all of a sudden you got a much bigger chunk of change that you got to pay because you tried to offset the Dave Yeager salary early in the deal. And so this deal kind of ramped up. It wasn't just 5.55. So again, there are all kinds of ways to structure deals, but the point I would make is that when you see Eric Spoelstra get an 8-year, $120 million deal, we're not seeing the back end of that at all. Like, we don't know how that's broken down. It's very much not like a player salary. And so there could be gigantic incentives, and they're all over the place. And we're not going to know about those incentives for a coach because the agent is typically the one who puts the number out there, how much a coach just got. He's basically an agent is saying, look what I did. Look what I did. I just got 8 years, $120 million for Eric Spoelstra. You want to sign up with me to be your agent for your next coaching job, right? So it's a lot like the Rashawn Holmes deal, except for when the Rashawn Holmes deal, the numbers finally came out. It was like, bro, the only way for him to make a 4-year, $54 million deal is for him to get traded like three times in the first year and have the 15% trade kicker kick in every time.
And hitting every incentive and like it's maximum dollars.
Like I know the Buddy Hield deal was announced at like an agent put it out there. It's a 4-year, $106 million deal. It was not. It was a 4-year, $85 million or $86 million deal with likely incentives to push it up to $94 million. And unlikely incentives like Buddy wins MVP or Buddy wins an NBA championship that would push it to like 106.
Yeah.
So again, there are incentives built into a lot of coaches' salaries and stuff. We just don't know it nearly as much as with players.
I saw somebody in the chatty house ask if we had considered, I think it was Andrew Sterling. Thank you for listening and chiming in. This is a good question. Said, have you considered that this was a chess move for Mike Brown to leak this for Mike Brown's camp to leak this to make the Kings look bad? And we talked about this a little bit at the top of the show. Yeah, definitely considered it. Do not think it's the case whatsoever.
No, I don't.
No,
that's a good way to get fired.
Yeah, that right.
Yeah,
that's a terrible idea.
If you want to embarrass an owner, that's a good way to just get your final paycheck. And again, this late in the offseason, have to go try to find another job after you get let go. Sure, you'd have some money to walk away with, but at the same time, that doesn't feel like this is what happened at
no.
all.
No.
I would be beyond shocked if that were the case.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and if it came out that was the case, then
It'd be like some six-dimensional chess. That's not, it's not even like three-dimensional chess. It's like,
The other thing that popped up in the chatty house, and again, if you want to participate in the chatty house, twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and youtube.com/ESPN1320. While you're there, hit the like button, little thumbs up underneath the video, and also subscribe to the ESPN 1320 channel. That way all our stuff is always right there at the top of the feed. You get notified when we go live, which we do every single day at 10 a.m. It's me and James on the Insiders until noon, followed by D'Lo and KC. They hang out with you from noon to 4. All right. The other thing that came up in the chat was, and I did not star it, that's my bad, but they said, I can see the Kings' side in this, though. And I can too. I get why they don't want to go, if they're not sold on Mike Brown, okay. And they go, hey, we don't want to give him 4 years and $40 million because we don't want to pay him $20 million if he's out of here in 2 years. Like, okay. I see that from their perspective, from a business perspective. And I get why you would try a 3 year $21 million deal with $27 million, up to $27 million with incentives. I see why when you're negotiating that you're going to come in with that offer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. I'm with you. And I see why Mike Brown would want $10 million a year. I see it there. It's not the offer. And it's not that the Kings are trying to structure this with like, yeah, hey, maybe some incentives because we need to get to the playoffs, dude. We need to go to, and if you make it, then we'll pay you like we would have had you gone to the playoffs or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Like I'm fine with that idea. I like the idea actually. But we will say this again and again. It's how this has gone down. It's like, why are you sending that to Shams? It's not compelling. That's not helpful. So that's the bigger issue. I see what the Kings are doing from a negotiation standpoint when it comes to the contract terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I see why they would want to structure a deal that way. Cool. A+. You're like $1 million or $2 million off. Just do that. Get it done. Why are you bickering over potentially $4 million if you let $4 million extra dollars over 2 years?
And
that's the question.
The thing is, what if they do go crazy? What if the Kings make some moves this season? What if Mike Brown goes into the season as a lame duck? Mm-hmm. You make some moves, you go into the season, and then midway through the season, you realize that, Mike Brown is going to have this team winning 60 games, and we don't know where they're going to go. What if they do keep winning in the playoffs? What if they get to the second round? What if they get to the Western Conference Finals? Now the negotiation gets a little dark, mm-hmm. because you didn't pay when you could have.
Yep.
And now you're going to be looking at Ty Lue money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be looking at, you know.
And I think they'd be willing to pay that. If they go to the conference finals next year and the year after that, and Mike Brown said, hey, I want a Ty Lue contract, then I think they'd be fine with that. I think they're still wary because of how this year went.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways. That's James. I'm Kyle. We have to break. Second hour coming up right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.